Well, good morning. I am grateful for the opportunity to be with you. As Ian said, Pastor Tony is gone. He's in Lake Ann speaking there, but he will be back with us next week. Hey, before we dive in this morning, this has been a really, really tough week for a number of people in our church, in our community, who are dealing with floods. But I've been very encouraged and challenged by those who have embraced this challenge through the lens of faith. At our previous church, unfortunately, flooding was a kind of a semi-normal occurrence, so I definitely understand the devastation that's caused by flooding. Our missions teams here at Sugar Grove, they are reaching out into the community to find out ways that Sugar Grove can possibly help. And while I'm there, if there's somebody here this morning and you would say you just have some needs and some assistance that's needed because of the flood, please contact our church office to see if there's some way that we might be able to help. Well, on a brighter note, spring is getting closer. The weather is looking close to the 60s this week. My neighbor Dee, she called across from the yard yesterday and said, "Matt, my crocuses are starting to come through." So starting to see some change, which we're excited about. In kids ministry, we're experiencing some change as well. As you may know, we are going through a season of transition. Our mission in SG Kids is to partner with families to help kids take next steps in their spiritual journey. We want to help families with discipleship. But as our church is growing, so is SG Kids. So in order to do this partnership effectively, we've made some staffing changes. Tammy Mishler, she was our nursery coordinator. She has come on part-time as our kids ministry director. Now, I will still have pastoral oversight of kids ministry, very much involved, but Tammy is going to handle more of the day-to-day. And this will ultimately allow us as a church to focus more on family ministry and developing a strategy to strengthen marriages and counseling and equipping parents and family discipleship. We showed a video, a fun video, this last Sunday evening at our quarterly celebration, and I'd like you to check out this video. This is not just kids ministry staffing. This is also other staff transitions in our church, so check out this video.
Tammy Mishler, Goshen Redskin, Kids Ministry Director.
Amy Brinks, ECA, Kids and Family Administrative Assistant.
Andrea Roselle, Bethany Braves, Administrative Assistant. Go Irish!
Amber Wheeler, Marymount Warriors, Kids Ministry Connections Coordinator.
Tammy Smith, ECA, Lead Pastor Ministry Assistant.
Katie Smith, Concord High School, Preschool Coordinator.
Emily Hildenbrand, Northwood High School Nursery Coordinator.
Tim Hartman, Brethren Christian, Facility Manager.
Christy Nine, M&W High School Friends Coordinator.
So thankful for each one of those individuals on our team, and thankful Pastor Brett and Johnny for putting that video together. Transition is never easy, and we are still really in the midst of transition. But one thing I really do enjoy and have discovered through this transition is that with transition and these new people who've been brought to the team, they are bringing a brand new, fresh perspective to ministry. And let me tell you, they're bringing it. And I'm so thankful for each one of them. Well, today we are talking about change. Changing our spiritual clothes, taking off those perspectives and heart attitudes that do not reflect Christ and replacing those with Christ-honoring mindsets and actions, because true salvation will lead to putting off culture's values for Christ's values. And when we speak of culture, we're talking about that general context in which we all live. It's that context that pulls us to to conform to its values, to its standards. Culture that is driven by Spirit-led individuals will more reflect Christ's values. Culture apart from God's Spirit will reflect non-Christ-like values. True salvation will lead to putting off culture's values for Christ's values. Now, there's a lot of everyday examples we could give of taking something off and putting on something that's new. Fresh paint always makes old dirty walls look better. Repaving roads. There's like at least one or two holes that need filled out there in the roads. Moving from a PC to a Mac, or moving from a Mac to a PC. That was my world 5 years ago. And I'll tell you, when you've been a PC guy your entire life and you're asked to move completely to a Mac, it is changing the old self to the new self. Cosmetic surgery. In the United States, billions and billions of dollars are spent to refinish our appearance, refinishing furniture. There's lots of examples we could look at, everyday examples of taking off the old and putting on the new. And this morning in Ephesians 4, Paul is going to provide us with a spiritual process. Some of you love processes this morning, processes and systems. Well, he's going to provide us with a process for changing our spiritual clothes, taking off sinful heart attitudes and putting on the mind of Christ. Two thoughts as we navigate this passage this morning. First, a growing disciple wants to look like Christ, not the culture. They want to clean up. They want to look like Christ. If you would please find your way to Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. And I'd like to revisit a little bit of what Pastor Tony shared last week in the first part of this chapter. Paul challenged the believers here in Ephesus to walk consistent with their new identity. Verse 1, walk in a manner worthy of the calling, he said, to which you have been called. Paul said, all that you learned in Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3 about your position in Christ, embrace that to be true of you and walk consistent with that reality. You are forever forgiven. You are redeemed through the payment of Jesus' blood. You are the object of his perfect grace. God has adopted you as his child and given you an eternal inheritance, just to name a few. Walk in a manner that's worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And as a church body, this means walking in unity, with singleness of focus, serving each other in love. Last week, Pastor Tony shared that true discipleship happens when the church functions as a team. And the more we function as a team and serve one another in love, the more we act as a light to the community around us. Jesus said in John chapter 13, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. And this brings us to our passage this morning in verse 17. And Paul says, now this I say and testify in the Lord that you no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Ephesus was a thriving, an important city. It was crucial for the spread of Christianity, but it was also toxic and sensual. It was impure. Idol worship was prevalent. So the constant pull of temptation was there to lure believers back out of the culture they just came out of. And Paul said, listen, church, I really need you to focus. Don't go back the same way you were. Don't go back to what you came out of. Walking in the futility of your minds, which is essentially a worldview that excludes God. It's living without God in your thinking. And reasoning apart from God is futility. Because thinking that excludes God in the absolutes of Scripture is left to its own reasoning to develop its own worldview, its own moral code, its own system of theology. This reasoning apart from God is futility. Verse 18, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. Several years ago, I worked at a funeral home in Bucyrus, Ohio. It was a great experience. But one of the things I learned while I was there, and this is going to be news to you, that a person who is dead is really dead. There is no life in that body. There is no breath in that body. And that's what Paul is saying, spiritually speaking. Paul said they are dead, alienated from the life of God. Back in Ephesians 2, Paul reminded these believers that one time you were spiritually dead. You were separated from Christ. You were without hope and without God in this world. And ultimately, this is a moral choice. And we see in this verse, due to the hardness of heart. Romans 1 describes the person who willfully chooses to reject God despite the evidence seen in creation all around them every day. Verse 18, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. They suppress the truth. Scripture says it's a conscious decision to reject God because creation demands a creator. Verse 19, for what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since creation of the world in the things that have been made so that they are without excuse. Romans chapter 1. And this is intense stuff. But Paul is saying, as we go back to Ephesians chapter 4, that they are alienated from the life of God. He continues now in verse 19. They have become callous and given themselves over to practice every kind of impurity. And many of you have jobs here in northern Indiana where you have hands-on jobs. You're constantly, whatever your job is, whether it's construction or farming, you're working and you're developing calluses on your hands. And that is actually protecting your hands. It's a good thing. But callousness of the heart is a different matter altogether. It builds up resistance to God's Spirit. It ignores that inner sense of God conscience and refuses to acknowledge the evidence of creation. It becomes calloused and desensitized. This leads to a life that is driven to satisfy an inner need that can never be satisfied apart from God. Lust, impurity, looking in these areas for fulfillment, arrogance, self-righteousness, intimidation, manipulation, dishonesty. But the more one insulates themselves from God's way of thinking, the more imprisoned they become, giving themselves over, as the verse says, to practice every kind of impurity. Paul goes on, verse 20. But that, he said, believers, but that is not how you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him, were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. Paul said, you know the truth. You know that freedom is found in a relationship with Christ, not apart from him. And it's out of this relationship that we have the ability to grow and overcome sin on a daily basis. In other words, putting off the old and putting on the new. A growing disciple wants to look like Christ, not the culture. So Paul outlines this spiritual process, outlines this process of putting off the old and putting on the new. Verse 22, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Verse 24, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. To put off your old self. The moment that you and I became a child of God, we put off the old self. And we put on the new self. This is positional. This is a spiritual, unchanging reality about your and my position in Christ if we know the Lord. Romans 6 says to consider yourselves dead to sin the old self, and alive to God in Christ Jesus, the new self. No matter how you feel, no matter your doubt, no matter your failings, if you are a child of God, then your position, or rather, this is your position in Christ, and this is how God sees you. This is your spiritual reality. But practically speaking, however, our heart attitudes and behaviors, which belong to our former manner of life, Scripture says, they don't always match up with our position as a disciple and Christ follower, because our flesh did not get saved. So there remains this gravitational pull to gratify that sinful nature through deceitful desires. Our verse says, sin deceives. It entices us to buy into the lie. I deserve this. It's my right. They owe me. But at the root of sin, we're always exchanging truth for a lie. Deceitful desires. We nurture our attitudes of selfishness, arrogance, jealousy, lust, and pride. This is what Paul is telling us. Put that off. In Colossians 3, Paul describes putting off the old self in a different way. He said, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. So the question this morning, how do we practically put off the old self and put on the new self? Well, let's look in verse 23. He says, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Mental renewal is changing the way you see yourself, your relationships, in the light of what God says through His Word. Changing the way you see yourself and your relationships in light of what God says through His Word. You see, His Word is a filter of sorts, exposing the lies that our hearts are embracing and revealing truth. Hebrews chapter 4, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the hearts. Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Allow that to renew your minds. Allow it to renew your heart. Because the way a person thinks determines their actions. And when we allow God's word to continually renew our thinking, our perspectives about His love, our understanding about our identity in Christ, how He views our relationships, how He views our sin, the more we continually renew our thinking, the more that renewal impacts our hearts. Romans chapter 12, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. About 8 months ago, we started to notice some changes with our water. Our water was starting to not smell very good. Soap, it just wasn't working right. Our clothes weren't coming out of the washer smelling very good. We're starting to notice these marks on all of our fixtures that had never showed up before, and they didn't want to come off very well. Even our dishwasher. I actually replaced our dishwasher because our dishwasher stopped working for whatever reason. Another thing, as I was getting to the root of the problem, the water softener, it was like months and months and months I had not had to change any of the salt. It's like magically staying there. And there's a problem. Our water softener was not working. So it was not filtering this water. So basically hard water was bypassing the whole system. We were seeing evidence of hard water. No good. So I call a repair guy. He comes in. He cleans out some gunk. He gets us up and running. This was just a few days ago. It's amazing. It's amazing. Soap now works. I mean, it's almost too soapy. Our clothes came out of the washer last night. I was telling Amber, smell this. It's amazing. Our clothes smell good. I probably could go find that dishwasher they got rid of and bring it back. I don't know. But we're seeing the results now of soft water. And you see the parallel. And we see the evidence in our lives when we're continually renewing our minds through the filter of God's word. And through his spirit, it changes us. But we also see the opposite, right? When we're choosing not to allow our minds to filter his word, we see the effects of hard water. We see those. Now, I probably could have, by the way, I probably could have gone to YouTube, because instead of calling a repair guy, because YouTube, you can fix anything if you go to YouTube. All you have to do is watch it and they'll tell you what to do. I could have MacGyvered it. I could have come up with some kind of system that would clean out the water and give us soft water, all those kinds of things. I couldn't have done that. If I tried, it truly been in the futility of my own mind, it would not have been successful. And yet spiritually, we try the same thing. We try to cowboy up and change ourselves without God in the futility of our minds. And actually, we do it all the time. It's called self-righteousness. But it always fails, because only the filter of God's word and his spirit can change our hearts. Peel off the old and put on the new. And this is a lifelong process. And it's not just about stop doing this. It's actually more about do this. Do the right thing that's in line with your identity in Christ. Through his strength. Verse 24. And put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Again, believers, when we have placed our faith in Christ, we have put on the new self in a positional sense. But practically speaking, now it's about lining up with who God says we are, with our thoughts, our responses, our relationships, our actions, through the strength of the Holy Spirit. It's not about moral strength, because that leads to legalism. It's about his life living through us. You'll recall a few weeks ago, Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. Verse 19, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That is the power that is there and available to us as believers through his spirit to take off the old and to put on the new. Before I met Amber, in the house that I owned, I had an eclectic array of furniture. And by the way, this is just a tip. If you are, if you have a bunch of furniture that you're wanting to get rid of, call a bachelor. They don't really care. They just need some furniture in their house. That's what my house was like. I actually had a cardboard box that I was using as a nightstand, but I covered it with this bath towel. But what was really cool about that? I could take that box in any room and I could match up colors, because I would just change the bath towel. It was amazing. But my brother, he passed on to me this coffee table. It was a super nice coffee table before his kids got a hold of it, and they just beat the tar out of this thing. So the top had all these divots and it was a mess. And that was my coffee table. And one night I just thought, you know what? I'm going to try to refinish this thing. So I took it in the garage and I'm just refinishing. I'm sanding and sanding and sanding and sanding. Finally, I got it down. There was no stain on it, so that part was a little easier. But the divot parts, that was really hard, getting down, way down there. I got some lacquer and put a new finish on it. You know what was amazing? This table almost looked brand new. I was like, wow, this is nice. by the way, just a note, now my brother took it back, and my nephew, he gave it to his son, my nephew in New York. But there's some parallels with this, though. As I thought through this, there's some parallels with this process of taking off the old and putting on the new. You see, this process of working with this table, it really was a process. It was gathering the supplies I needed. It was taking off that first finish. And that was hard work. And then it was putting on the new finish. And you know what? It was a process. And spiritual growth and sanctification is a process. It's a lifelong process of renewing the mind and allowing God's word to impress the truth on our hearts and expose the lies that we are embracing. And then as we act on truth through his strength, we are putting off the old self and putting on the new self. Spiritual growth is a process. Something else, a parallel from that table, it took time. It took quite a few hours to make that table what it needed to be. In that same sense as true spiritually, time associated with growth, that's a scriptural thing. There's a process in scripture of sowing and reaping a harvest. So spiritual growth not only is a process, but it takes time. And finally, I was amazed, as I said, with the outcome of what this table looked like. It almost looked brand new. It almost looked like its original creation. When we take off the old and put on the new through the power of God's Spirit, and we're replacing those lies with truth, in a sense, we're putting on God's original intention in his original creation, because it's through the power of his Spirit that it's being accomplished through our lives. The second part of verse 24, it says, as we put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. A growing disciple wants to look like Christ, not the culture. But ultimately, this process of taking off the old and putting on the new is fleshed out in our relationships. Looking like Christ is reflected in how we treat others, right? Through the remainder of the chapter, Paul gives us five practical applications contrasting the thinking that is rooted in the old self versus the mind of Christ, the new self. Now, ultimately, we're going to zoom right through this, but as we do, see if you can identify the old self and new self. Actually, I'm going to give that to you, so forget that part. I'll give it to you. But maybe you'll be ahead of me. Verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, the old self, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, the new self. For we are members one of another. And deception, or the old self, should be removed entirely from our lives because truthfulness, Scripture says, is part of our identity as a Christ follower. And it's the basis of trust with our community. As believers, we are one in Christ. We are commanded to speak the truth in love. How can we establish truth if we are lying to each other? Verse 26, be angry, old self, and do not sin, new self. And do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. We all experience anger. It's a God-given emotion. The question is, what do we do with that emotion of anger? The old self, driven by fear and insecurity, nurtures anger and embraces the lie that says, I have every right to feel and respond this way. The new self, secure in God's love, resolves anger calmly and productively. They do not allow anger to simmer because festering anger leads easily to sin. Verse 28, let the thief no longer steal, old self, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need, new self. The stealer is transformed into a giver. The old man is selfish and lazy. The new self is defined by integrity, responsibility, and generosity. The mindset is working to share. Verse 29, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, old self, but only such as good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. New self, words reflect our heart. The old self, driven by insecurity, indiscretion, and self-absorption, the new self is on mission to speak words that help build up. And when that is our focus, we will be less tempted to use our words to hurt others or grieve the Holy Spirit. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for that day of redemption. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Old self. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. New self. The old self of bitterness and anger can be replaced with the new self of forgiveness and kindness as we embrace our identity in Christ and the forgiveness we have through Him. Looking like Christ is reflected in how we treat others. Our homes are a great place to practice this. Parents, grandparents, what an opportunity we have to model this process of transformation before the eyes of our children, our grandchildren, and each other. Let me quote Christina Embry, and please let this sink in. Every single moment, we are being observed by the next generation. Whether intentional or not, our influence is being absorbed. Our actions, our reactions, our words, our lack of words, all of it is teaching every moment of it. That is discipleship. And let your kids see you grapple with this tension between putting off the old and putting on the new self. It's not about perfection, because none of us will get there. It's not about a destination. It's about a process. It's about a process of God changing us as we're filtering our minds and renewing our minds with His Word and allowing His Spirit to change us. It's about discipleship. And let your kids see that. As the band comes this morning, true salvation will lead to putting off culture's values for Christ's values. You know, the moment that we agree with God that our sin separates us from Him, and that we will place our trust completely on Christ's death and resurrection, we receive that gift of eternal life. We receive forgiveness. We become His child. But that is just the beginning. Spiritual growth and sanctification is not automatic. It's an intentional, lifelong process of renewing the mind. A growing disciple wants to look like Christ, not the culture. And the more we are transformed into looking like Christ, the more we want that process to happen. And ultimately, it's reflected in our relationships. What is the Lord possibly revealing to you in your heart this morning? How does He want you to respond as we pray and as we sing? Father, thank you so much for the truth of your word, your purifying word, your purifying spirit. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this process of taking off the old and putting on the new. And Lord, I pray that you help us this morning to be intentional, Lord, with this process. Lord, help us to obey you in this way. Help this to be a reality in our life, that we align our hearts and behaviors with who you say to be true about us. And Lord, I pray for that person who might be sitting in here and they do not know you. They don't know you. They don't have a relationship with you. I pray that you'll help them to understand that you love them and you want to embrace them. You want to save them from their sin, give them the gift of eternal life, and give them a relationship with you. Help them to see that. And Lord, we pray that you draw them to you in your love. Lord, again, thank you for your word, your spirit, and what you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen.